We're doing the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah, page Peites in the Rambam Lam edition, whereby the letter Yud Aleph, and we'll dedicate our learning to Chaya Sara Bat Yosef. The Rambam says, V'reiti lavi prakim masara, and I saw fit, it made sense to me, to bring 10 chapters, kodem shatchi lefaresh. Before I start explaining, before I start the explanation of the Mishnah, so now that the Rambam said his whole long introduction, he says, now it makes sense to me to introduce the Mishnah with 10 chapters, meaning after this whole, we've read 89 pages of introduction, he says, now we should really start the explanation on the Mishnah, but it makes sense to me to introduce the explanation on the Mishnah with 10 chapters. The hymn in these 10 chapters, Be'munat HaKel, he says, I swear by God, En Be'em To'elet G'dola K'neged HaInyan She'anu Oskim Bo. They're not something that really you'll find that they're tremendously useful when it comes to what we're dealing with. Meaning, when it comes to learning the Mishnah, you don't necessarily need this introduction in order to understand my commentary on the Mishnah. But nonetheless, it'll be good to stand on these points. Whoever wants to be complete in understanding the Mishnah and understanding the nature of the Mishnah, the behind the scenes of the composition of the Mishnah, so that, he says, these chapters will be useful to him. So he says, in essence, you don't really need this introduction, but because I want you not only to understand the Mishnah, but to be whole in your understanding, so I'm going to give you this introduction. HaPerek HaRishon, first chapter. B'minyan HaChachamim HaNizkarim BaMishnah, I'll enumerate the sages that are mentioned in the Mishnah, V'nikru HaLachot Al Shmam, and the halachos are in their names. So you understand that this first chapter, as you see as we turn the page, is going to be an enumeration of names. So we got some 91 names that he's going to mention. Yeah? So he says that's the first chapter, the Rambam says. Firstly, we'll enumerate the rabbis mentioned in the Mishnah. HaPerek HaSheni, the second chapter, B'minyan HaChachamim HaNizkarim BaMishnah, B'shvil Maaseh She'ya B'zman Echad, we'll enumerate the rabbis that are mentioned in the Mishnah because of something that happened at a specific time, or Musar Shlamdu Mimenu Drasha Amar. Meaning, these are the rabbis that either they said a drasha, or we learned something from them, but they're not commonly found in the Mishnah. We have a one-time thing, they're mentioned in the Mishnah. So the Rambam, in the second chapter of his introduction, will enumerate them. And as you see as we turn the page, he's going to enumerate 37 rabbis that show up in the Mishnah here and there just with a specific story regarding them, or a specific drasha, or a specific lesson. HaPerek HaShlishi, the third chapter, Lo'odiyah Mash Nitpasim Yachas Chachmei HaMishnah. Here he says, I'll explain, I'll make known what we know about the lineage of the rabbis of the Mishnah. HaPerek HaRvi'i, the fourth chapter, V'chachmim Shayu B'dor Echad, I'll enumerate the rabbis which were in one generation, and the generations where we'll enumerate how these rabbis, they lived after these rabbis, this generation touched on this generation. The fifth chapter, explaining who was the student, who was the rabbi, as has been made known. The sixth chapter, to make known their names when their names aren't explained. Meaning sometimes you find Rabbi Shimon. Which Rabbi Shimon is that? We had Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, we had Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Which one is it? So I'll explain the names that we find, and the Mishnah doesn't really explain, and I'll make known a little bit more who they were. HaPerek HaShvi'i, the seventh chapter, B'zichon Ma'alatam, explaining the levels. We say like Halachak Rabbi Akiva Mechavero. Rabbi Akiva outweighs. He's the champ, right? In Mishnah, if you have Rabbi Akiva in another opinion, Rabbi Akiva wins. One-on-one, Rabbi Akiva always wins. So we'll mention the levels of the rabbis, Kefisha Sam Chaber, like the one who composed the Mishnah really did. HaPerek HaShmini, the eighth chapter, B'yuchsam Na'aratzot V'Limlachot V'Lanshim U'Mishpachot. We'll explain in which lands the different rabbis lived, what works they did, what people, what families. HaPerek HaTshiʼi, the ninth chapter, B'anshim Shnafla B'neim Machloket B'rov Divrahim. Who are the people that we have Machlokes? Who are the people who most commonly argue with one another? Like Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rav Shmuel, Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan. You have rabbis in the Mishnah that are, these are Amorim, but you have rabbis in the Mishnah that frequently argue with one another. Perek Asiri, the 10th chapter, is going to focus on Bechiluk Kabbalotem, Berov Bemiut, discerning the different traditions that they had, be it the traditions that this one had a big tradition, this one had a small tradition. We'll enumerate which traditions went which way. And in essence, really, we'll see now what the Rambam just said. So here we see a very interesting thing. The Rambam, it seems, and we have to wonder what the idea behind it is, the Rambam is a big believer in introducing. So he writes these 89 pages introducing. And then he says, now I'll write an introduction to the Mishnah. And what did he just do? He introduced his introduction. He made like an index. These are the chapters and this is what they will encompass. And maybe he's teaching us in Chinuch. I was once by there's a rabbi who comes into Israel for my wife's side of the family when they have simchas. So he always comes in. He's a relative. And whenever he speaks, he begins his speeches by saying, now we are going to discuss. And he enumerates like an index. This is what we're going to discuss. And then he goes through it one by one, point by point, explaining what he was going to say. Now, I never heard anyone speak that way but him. But maybe he's going in line with the Rambam. That when you're coming to teach something, it's beneficial to the listener to know what will we encompass. So, now we'll quickly do the first chapter. And I have two ways we could do this. I'm going to opt for the former, unless you guys protest. We could either just read what the Rambam has to say, which is the direction I'm thinking of going. Or, as we read each rabbi, I could add a little bit of spice, say, oh, and he was this, and he was that. But then that's me, it's not the Rambam. So our class is in Rambam. So even though it's going to be a little bit boring just to read the names of some 91 rabbis, but being that that's what the Rambam did, that's what I think we should do. We'll quickly run through the names, and in our other classes, we elaborate on who each one is. Right now, let's hear what the Rambam has to say. Yeah, we're in agreement, we'll do it that way. Okay, HaPerek HaRishon, so the first chapter, and we'll quickly do this one. V'minyan HaChachmim Nizkerim B'Mishnah, V'nikru HaLachot B'Shmotam. In enumerating, the rabbi is mentioned in the Mishnah, and the rabbis who the halachas are said over in their names. Now, we have to wonder a little bit. Guys, I'm going to tell you something which isn't common knowledge, and if you quote it, people are going to get very upset at you. And we don't have time now to go through all the sources for this, but we'll just open up a concept which, if taken the wrong way, could be apikorsos. So you got to take it the right way, okay? We have things quoted in the Mishnah, right? And then the Gemara will sometimes say, this isn't the opinion of this rabbi, this is the opinion of another rabbi. The Mishnah says something plainly, and the Talmud says, Hamani, who's the author of this Mishnah? Rabbi Akiva. This Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. It's not really the opinion of everyone. You take the first Mishnah in Megillah. The Mishnah plainly states that there are options when we read the Megillah. There can be instances where the Megillah is read a day or two or three earlier than the date of Purim. Comes along the Gemara and says, this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, but the Chachamim disagree, and the Halacha is like Chachamim, we don't go like our Mishnah. The Mishnah didn't say it was Rabbi Akiva. And the question is, when the Mishnah does tell us halacha in someone's name, how finite is that? Meaning sometimes the Gemara is going to say, no, that wasn't exactly his opinion, that was someone else's opinion, he holds differently. And the Gemara really changes halacha based on allotting different opinions to different rabbis. So the simple understanding is, this was their tradition and this is what they said. But then you ask yourself, if this was their tradition, then why'd they have on tradition a Mishnah written differently than their tradition, right? And so this is a long topic that needs to be discussed. And if you want just the sources for this topic, so the sources are the Tshuva Sabach Simen Ayin, the Gra in his commentary in Kol Elio, he has one page called Klalim, where he explains the concept of Chesuri Mechsira. The Ramban in the end of the first chapter of Erevin, and more. The Bach in Eben Ezer, Sim Tesvav. There are a few sources that one would have to look up to understand this concept, and we don't have time to go through all of it. The only point I want to make, in line with this thought that needs development, How does it work? The allotment of opinions in the Mishnah and then the Gemara. That the Gemara will sometimes say, this is the opinion of so-and-so, this is the opinion of so-and-so. The question is, how are we supposed to read this line in the Rambam? The Rambam says, and we're a little bit, we have our hands tied behind our backs, because we're reading a translation. So to be medayek, to start saying, well, in this translation, the Rambam said like this, we have to wonder how accurate the translation is. But, assuming the translation has great accuracy, so then what it says here is, we will enumerate the rabbis mentioned in the Mishnah, v'nikre'u ha'alachot bishmotam. He doesn't say, they're the ones who said these alachot. He says, and we call it that these alachs are in their name. Doesn't mean we call it. Is it them who said it or not? He doesn't say it's them who said it. He says, and the halachas are said in their name, which is a convoluted way of saying it. Just say, they're the ones who said these halachot. So maybe this is an opening to that direction, that we allot the opinions with the way it works out in the Gemara. The Gemara works it out. The Gemara says, well, if we see the other Tanakh sources, it would make most sense to allot this opinion with this rabbi. Did they have a firm tradition it was this rabbi who said it? Either yes or no. That's exactly the question we're posing. You guys with me?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, the Rambam here, it could be that the Rambam's terminology, the Rambam's use of words is very, very exact. But being that we're using a translation, we have to be a little bit careful. These aren't the Rambam's words at the end of the day. Yeah. This was all written in Arabic. So the Rambam continues. We've already said in the introduction to our words earlier, about 20 pages ago, שמחבר המשנה קיצר דבריו בסיפור שמות האנשים המקבלים, לכן משמעון הצדיק ורעב, that the one who composed the Mishnah, he spoke shortly when he enumerated the names of the rabbis who had the tradition. He begins the tradition in Pirkei Avos with Shimon HaTzadik and his friends, right? The Mishnais in Pirkei Avos, when they enumerate the tradition, so it goes quickly from Moshe Rabbeinu to the men of the Great Assembly. So we skip about a half a millennium or more. We skip almost a millennium. We go from Moshe to the men of the Great Assembly. Right? And the men of the Great Assembly. Oh! So the Rambam mentions that. He doesn't go into why. There's a Jerusalem Talmud that goes into why, but we won't go into that right now. Basically, the Jerusalem Talmud says that when you quote things, if you're going to go back to the end, so half the Talmud's going to be spent saying, he said in the name of him, in the name of him, in the name of him, to Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning you're always going to have to trace it all the way back. So the question is, why do we have exceptions? Meaning you have a Mishnah in Peah that says, Amar Rabbi Meyasha, and then he starts quoting the tradition all the way back, and then he says, till Moshe Rabbeinu. Wait a second. How come in this Mishnah they said it, and in other Mishnayot not? So that's in the, you could see it in the second chapter, first chapter, second chapter, first chapter of Peah. Think? Hazora Shnei Minei Chitim. If one plants, the Mishnah begins, one plants two types of wheat. So over there brings a story, and then it says they had a question, had a rule in that story. They went to the high court, and Rabbi Miyasha stood up and said, I have a tradition, and then he enumerates the tradition, and he concludes by saying that, and this tradition goes all the way back to Moshe. And the question is, why is that, I think, the only place we find that kind of statement? So at any rate, the Rambam tells us here, he says, the one who composed the Mishnah spoke quickly, he didn't really enumerate the tradition. He starts enumerating the tradition with Shimon HaTzadik. The Kabbalah Chula Chuzeret LeShimon. And in essence, all of our tradition goes back to Shimon HaTzadik, who was, he was the Kohen Gadol after Ezra HaSofer. So we're talking about the beginning of the Second Temple. Uminyan Elu Anashim Shel Bishmam Nichtevu Chol Adinim. And the enumeration of these people who, all the halachos are written in their names, v'akushiyot, the questions, v'atakanot, v'akzirot b'chol ha-mishnah, the institutions, the decrees throughout the Mishnah, echad b'tishim ish. You have 91 names, says the Rambam, 91 rabbis in the Mishnah, ve'iluim, and these are the rabbis. Now, if you want to see further on this question that Yonatan is bothered with, why are the rabbis mentioned in the Mishnah, the later day rabbis? So, this question was asked in the Gonic period. This question was asked of Rav Shri Raigon, and there were a group of rabbis who sent him a letter with a bunch of questions, and he sent them an answer. And that answer is the famous letter of Rav Shri Raigon, known as Igelt Rav Shri Raigon. We used to learn it here, but at some point the class petered down to just me. So we stopped. But one of the things they asked him was this question. They said, how come you go through the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is predominantly rabbis at the end of the Second Temple, not even the beginning of the Second Temple. What about all the rabbis that preceded them? And he basically says that until the period of Shammai and Hillel, you didn't have any arguments. You had a high court, and anything that was in question was ruled on by the high court, and people basically all had the same tradition. It was only in the period after Shammai and Hillel that we were chased by the Romans, and we couldn't have academies, and we couldn't learn by the rabbis, and we couldn't get the tradition the way we had previously. It was only then that they started developing different traditions in machlokot. So he says, that's why throughout the Mishnah there's no point in quoting Rabbi so-and-so or the other rabbi, because all the rabbis that preceded Hillel and Shammai, well, you had hundreds of rabbis in that generation saying the same thing, each one in his own words. But that's why he says you don't find their opinions quoted, because in their generation it wasn't only him who said that, every rabbi said that. It was only after Hillel and Shammai, the last 100 years before the destruction of the temple, and then the years following the destruction, that you suddenly have quotes in the name of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Tarfon. All these rabbis are late. These are the rabbis at the period of the destruction, because then the Romans were chasing us, the Asmonean kings were chasing us, we couldn't have academies, we couldn't have a normal setting to learn under, so then machlokot evolved. The Rambam explained it differently. The Rambam earlier explained it, that the machlokot evolved from Shammai and Hillel, because God made it that their students were not on the level of their predecessors. He attributes it to the godly way of running the world, that every generation, that the generations go down a notch. And every time it's a slight notch until suddenly you realize, hey, wait a second, we're very far from the earlier generations. Every time it's a little less, and suddenly you hit the generation of the students of Hillel and Shammai, and it's a big leap. You suddenly realize there's a big gap. At any rate, this concept that at the generation of Hillel and Shammai, that's when things changed, that's not the Rambam or Rav Shri Raigon's invention. That's a Tosefta in Sanhedrin that says that that's when things changed. Okay, so now let's quickly read the enumeration. We'll at least finish the first chapter. Who are the rabbis of the Mishnah? Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkunos was Rabbi of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. Rabbi Lezer ben Oshrob Yosei Aglili. Yoshua ben Prachya. He was the contemporary of Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkunos. I'm sorry, no. Rabbi Yoshua ben Prachya was an early generation. He's the one who was supposedly the teacher of Yoshka. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, he was the contemporary of Rabbi Lez ben Hurkanus. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, according to Rashi, he's Rabbi Akiva's son. Rabbi Yeshua ben Betera, sorry, I can't help but say a little bit. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus, Rabbi Lezer ben Azaria, he was a contemporary of Rabbi Lez ben, he was a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva's. Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda Ishbartosa, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, Rabbi Elazar ben Shomua, Rabbi Elazar Chisma. He was famous. Rabbi Elazar ben Parta, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Pabi, Abba Elazar ben Diloa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Eloi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, Rabbi Yehuda ben Abba, Yehuda ben Tabai, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Hashezori, Rabbi Shimon ben Nanos, Rabbi Shimon ben Asagon, Shimon ben Shotach. He was the brother of the Asmonean queen. He was the brother-in-law of Yanai, right? Shimon HaTemani, Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, Rabbi Shimon ben Zoma, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon ben Beseira, Shimon Achi Azaria, his brother used to support him. Azaria used to support him. They had a Yisachar Zvolun deal. Rabbi Hananya Sgana Kohanim, Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonos, Hanina ben Chachinai, Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel, Rabbi Nechunya ben Elchanan Ish Kfar HaBavli, Rabbi Yishmal, Rabbi Nechemya, Nechemya Ish Beisli, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Yochanan Kohen Godo, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, he was the great rabbi at the time of the destruction of the temple, who instituted all the institutions that have held us since the destruction of the temple, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko, Yochanan ben Gudgoda, Rabbi Yochanan Asandlar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Yeshua ben Chamiv shel Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yosei, Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam, Rabbi Yossi ben Achotef Efrati, Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, Yosef ben Elazar, Yosef ben Yochanan, Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Yossi ben Choni, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken. There were two Rabbi Gamliels, a grandfather and a grandson. Dostoy Ish Kfar Damoy, Rabbi Dostai ve Rabbi Yanai, Abosho, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Chutzpiz, Rabbi Nason. Rabbi Nason is the one that composed the Mishnah in Babylon. He was a contemporary of Rebbe's. At the same time that Rebbe composed the Mishnah in Israel, Rabbi Nason HaBavli, he composed the Mishnah in Babylon. Nachum HaLavdal, Rabbi Miasha, Rabbi Tzadok, Nachum HaMadi, Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas, Rabbi Lai ben Kuvri, Rabbi Papayas, Rabbi Masya ben Cheresh, or Chorosh, Nitai HaArbeli, this is an early generation Tana, Shmaya Avtalion, Gerei Tzedek, Hillel Shammai, Rabbi Zcharia ben Akatzav, Admon, Chonon ben Avshalom, Rabbi Yadua HaBavli, Akavya ben Maalalel, a great, great sage, Rabbi Yochim Ish Chodid, Menachem ben Sigonai, Rabbi Yaakov. V'lo shamanu bezichon shmotam sedos manihim. Says in the ordering of their names, we didn't go in chronological order. So now in the second chapter, which is where we'll pick up next week, the Rambam is going to explain, enumerate, who are those that were mentioned like on a one-time basis. So what we see today, the Rambam said he's going to have a 10-chapter introduction to explain, to give us knowledge that will give us a more broad understanding of the Mishnah. The Rambam explained what he'll do in each chapter, and we learned the first chapter in which he enumerated the names of the rabbis mentioned in the Mishnah. So the question was asked, how come sometimes we find the rabbi named Rabbi so-and-so, and sometimes that same rabbi is mentioned without the title rabbi, or without his personal name? So in different instances, the Gemara explains why. Sometimes the Gemara does not explain why. Some explanations we sometimes find are that this he said when he was younger. This he said before he was given rabbinic authority. So in different instances, we have different explanations, but those are the explanations that we find. Those are the explanations I remember right now. Either because he was younger, so he was called by that, or he hadn't yet gotten smicha, so he's called by that name without the title rabbi or without even his own name, the son of so-and-so.